Performing Arts Center. Then Saturday, I'll be speaking in Castlegar, British Columbia in Canada. You can check our website for details. That's at Selkirk College in British Columbia at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Trina Nadura, Andre Lewis, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Paul Huckabee, Engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grand, David Prude, Ariel Boone, Vesta Godars. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford College. And now from our live studios at Henry Ford College, it's our weekly public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal for today, which is Friday, April 7th. And it's the first day of baseball in Detroit. And it's starting right about now. If you're listening to our live show, you're probably going to tune out. But I don't think they carry it on the radio or TV if it's the first game of the season. I guess they want you down there. Of course, always remember, if you're listening to the podcast, it's all our podcast of our show is always available immediately after broadcast. So anytime after 2 o'clock each Friday, it's there on our website, whfr.fm. And you just have to click on the one of the three big buttons in the middle of our homepage, and that says talk shows, and then only two choices. WHFR Journal is the one to click on, and then select the appropriate date of the show. So keep your dates in mind about what Friday date you're interested in. I just want to tell you about two important dates and podcasts if you haven't caught them yet. On February 17th of this year, we combined all five of the audio portions of the video presentations done by Mayor Jack O'Reilly here in Dearborn into one-hour show. And so that's available on February 17th podcast at WHFR.fm. And then 2 weeks ago, we did interview for a solid hour Mayor O'Reilly himself with some follow-up questions about that presentation and some issues that hadn't been covered in that presentation. So that's a very interesting thing. Rarely do you get a chance to actually listen to your mayor, the mayor of your city, answering questions for an hour straight. And thank you, Mayor O'Reilly, for being so forthcoming, not only to spend an hour with us. He was already on campus, by the way, attending another event, but he left early. Yes, he did. It was really nice. And he is always very willing to express details to questions that you ask. And that's really great. A lot of politicians will come up with some generalization, platitude, or exaggeration and leave it at that. Well, that's all I can say at this point in time. Well, you afraid of the details? Mayor O'Reilly never seems to be very afraid of the details. And so you might want to listen to that hour-long interview with Mayor O'Reilly of Dearborn. And it's a podcast from April 24th. How long are those podcasts there? Well, it's embarrassing, but a couple of years. So you can go back pretty far. And it's almost embarrassing since we're trying to do news that's relatively new each week that we haven't covered before about Dearborn and the surrounding area. Very much local news. What matters to you most matters to you most. And it's usually local. And that's the way it should be. That local matters to you most. So anyway, since we last week also had a guest in the studio talking about the communication leadership problem, community leadership program problem here that's offered here in the political science and social science area of Henry Ford College. Special 2-year degree and or, if you prefer, a certificate program that's a little bit shorter. And so here's a couple stories that, as they say, slip between the cracks. From Press and Guide, Dearborn Press and Guide, from Wednesday, March 22nd, on their front page, students here in Dearborn asked to name their video studio after its founder, Russ Gibb. A group of current and former Dearborn High School students petitioned the school board this month to name the studio after the program's founder, Russ Gibb. But in an ironic twist, they were foiled by a power outage and had to do so in near darkness surrounded by 3 video cameras. About a dozen people stood as presenters asked the board to name the studio after Gibb, the colorful, charismatic teacher who started the video program long before YouTube or even the internet existed. Some of those in the crowd graduated as far back as the 1980s. Gibb has also an extensive history in the entertainment industry and was a local radio personality and television producer. He retired from teaching years ago, but continues to help students, according to the presenters. I certainly hope that goes ahead. I don't see a problem with their doing that. They don't always have to ask for money to put a name on a room or, in this case, a studio. So I think that's very appropriate. Russ Gibb has, of course, been awarded the Mayor's Art Award a couple years ago as Art Educator of the Year. And that was overdue, I thought, actually, because of the contribution he made. Russ and I were media teachers at the same time. I at Henry Ford Community College, as it was called then, and he at Dearborn High School. And we had, I thought, great respect for each other, even though politically and even educationally we had different philosophies. But I think we both tried to be the best teachers we could and to help students as much as we could. And from somewhat different perspectives, but and I hope, Russ, you're still able to listen to this show, and because I'm jumping up and down, even though people can't see me on the radio. Russ used to say he was jumping up and down when he did his cable TV show in the early days of cable in Dearborn, which was 5 days a week and then a call-in show on Saturdays. Oh my goodness, he was very busy. And a trailbreaker in many ways, and in good ways, too. So I hope you get the studio named after you. It's something, right? Yeah. What are our state representatives doing? Well, from this area, Abdullah Hamoud is in his first term, representing mostly just the district of Dearborn. We're one of those crazy districts in Michigan that is not gerrymandered. I mean, it's pretty much contiguous, the city of Dearborn, and just a little bit around the edges. That's amazing. That's appropriate, too, because we have, sort of a consensus of concerns from this area. East Dearborn is a lot different than West Dearborn. I don't think so. Not really. Yes, there's different businesses. There's different ethnic groups, population patterns and demographics. But that's great, you know. But we're basically working together as a city, and therefore I think we should be represented as a city too. And we're so lucky because we are. But gerrymandering has just killed that sort of representation in our House of Representatives and our state Senate in Michigan, and to a certain extent to the U.S. Congress too. Well, what's Abdullah Hamoud been doing? He introduced a bill which would allow security guards at Fairlane Town Center to make arrests and then hold offenders until Dearborn police arrive. Legislation would require security guards to undergo additional training and licensing in order to make arrests and would require the approval of a holding cell. I'm not sure they have one, but they're going to have to build one according to certain specifications, and that has to be all approved by the Dearborn City Council. And Hamoud said he worked on the bill with the city officials and the Dearborn Police Department as a means of support for local police. So there seems to be support here locally, and we'll see what happens with that. I can only say from my own several anecdotal experiences over the years that whenever there's a problem of any sort and they feel the security police have to call the city of Dearborn, we respond we make a significant response. Sometimes it's a small SWAT team, 3-4 cars, automatic weapons, I'm telling you. And it's very quick. It's very quick. So I don't know anyone, you know, shopping at Fairlane or thinking of shopping at Fairlane. It is a safe place in the city you know, of Dearborn. And, you know, I think even the current security there and police support from City of Dearborn continues to make it safe. But this would probably help a little bit to facilitate a, let's say, some sort of misdemeanor problem or disturbance problem that wasn't didn't need the SWAT team, perhaps, which is scary for some of the people trying to shop there, even though the SWAT team is very well behaved and they wouldn't shoot anybody that doesn't deserve it, right? Okay, that's an exaggeration. That's sort of a joke. Just tossing that out. I'm identifying it for what it is. I'm not criticizing anyone or anything. Remember, all opinions on the show, especially today, are only those of yours truly, Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR, not necessarily anyone at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, administrators. Okay, turning to pressing guide from April 2nd. AK Steel proposal lacks transparency. This is a statement, first of all, from Representative Abdullah Hamoud. He said, I understand that AK Steel has made positive strides compared to the previous owner, both in their community efforts and with actions to address emissions. That being said, residents of Dearborn have real concerns about air quality and the detrimental impact it has on public health and the environment. So AK Steel's, here's the story, AK Steel's Dearborn Works plant could receive a multimillion-dollar legacy tax credit if it works out a deal with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The brownfield tax credits originally were awarded to the plant's previous owner, Severstal, and legislation that would have allowed AK Steel to claim the credits from the Michigan Economic Growth Authority died in the state legislature last year. But the MEDC is now considering awarding both the mega, it's the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. No, well, it's some of those legacy tax credits are called mega credits and brownfield credits without legislative approval. And a bipartisan group of state representatives is speaking out. They say that by going around the legislature, the company could avoid answering questions about environmental protections for surrounding neighborhoods. And Representative Hamoud is among the legislators calling for more transparency in these negotiations. He's a Democrat, along with Democrat Representative Stephanie Chang from Detroit, Republican Pete Lucido from Shelby Township, and Republican Martin Haurilak from Troy. So there is a little bit of bipartisanship there. We'll see what happens and how that goes. Certainly, anything that has to do with the environment in Michigan, which, well, I mean, I, you know, it's somewhat an ironic slogan, pure Michigan phrase, not really a slogan. It's a phrase, pure Michigan, has been on license plates for a while, and they've had publicity money and commercials made for Michigan that have been placed not only in Michigan, but around the United States. But after the Flint crisis, how pure is Michigan if we can't even keep our water safe to drink? Another story I have here on that. Let's see. Where is it sitting here? Okay, where is it? All right. Okay, we're going to the Michigan Radio website, michiganradio.org. And it was a report from, of all things, the Environmental Protection Agency. Remember them? Remember them, it's a federal government group that's supposed to try to protect our environment. That's their name. And their budget is being cut 31%. And many of the programs like Saving the Great Lakes are being cut to zero. Well, anyway, before they are out of business, thanks to the current president's budget proposals, which haven't been acted on yet, but he wants to save a lot of money and then spend it on the military. So he's got more toys to use whenever he wants to. Anyway, back to the air quality. Detroit itself, last year, well, 2015, that takes them a while to figure these things out, had 161 dirty air days. Bad air. You don't want to breathe it if you can avoid it. Air that increases, if you breathe it, increases the risk of premature death, asthma attacks, and other adverse health impacts. However, if you live in Detroit, even if you stay inside a lot, you're still breathing bad air. That's in quotes, of course, dirty air. And I've known that for years. Anyone that takes a trip even a little bit up north or to the western part, northwestern part of our state, Traverse City, for example, you can breathe the air there. It is amazing. It is so clean compared to Detroit that you actually want to take a deep breath almost all the time because it feels so good. And so only by comparison, if you live in Detroit all your life and you haven't got out of Detroit, you won't know what clean air is really all about. Why shouldn't we have clean air? Who pollutes? Automobiles, yeah. But the major polluter of our air, making us sicker, is industry. Who's going to regulate them? Who's going to say no, no? If the whole idea, especially a Republican idea, and I think I'm accurate in that, is to end all regulations and to get rid of the EPA. So it doesn't make any sense to yours truly. There are some things that we need the federal government for. As you know, I've said before, I consider myself an independent. I believe that there are certain tasks that are very appropriate to be done by the federal government. Other things appropriate to be done by the states and other things to be done by individuals. But yes, we need the federal government to do things like pollution because like water travels, doesn't reflect boundaries, artificial human boundaries like state boundaries or and air goes everywhere. You see, the environment is something that has to be protected on a federal level. I mean, we can't do anything about Canada directly, although they're doing better than we are, thanks to the Trudeau government's initiatives at this point. In terms of the future of environmental protection in Canada and the future of environmental protection in the United States, they're doing a much better job right now, and they will be, unless things turn around here in the United States. So AK Steel, let us see what you're proposing. Let us respond to it in the state, in the legislature, and not have a backdoor deal with our infamous MEDC, Michigan Economic Development Corporation, almost as bad as the Environmental Quality Michigan Group, okay, who, you know, have a lot to be criticized. Even, you know, the conservative group, the Mackinac Center for Policy, and they have a couple of newsletters. One is called Michigan Capital Connection. Another is about education. But they totally believe the state shouldn't be giving all these incentives, including brownfield. They've got a big story about how brownfield money, which has helped Dearborn to set up new businesses in certain areas that were considered polluted. I know Mayor Guido was really happy about brownfield development, redevelopment money coming from the state, in some cases, I think the federal government too. They criticize that. That's a special payout and bailout. And they're not in favor, as I am not in favor, of special incentives to come from government and special tax cuts for businesses. They either pay the taxes that all the businesses are paying as appropriate to their size and location, or they don't do business here. Okay? It's really a good argument, and it would save the state of Michigan millions and millions of dollars every year to stop doing that. Of course, to a certain extent, if the other states don't stop doing it, then some of those businesses will be tempted to move to other states. That's why I think there should be a federal government law passed that no states can give tax relief or incentives to any business. Period. Because then there wouldn't be, then they'll go to Canada. Well, they might go to Mexico or somewhere, but go ahead, let them try. I think some things have to be done at the federal level, and we need federal regulation, especially for environmental protection. And whatever you think, do your research. Look it up. Or just drive up north and see how much easier it is to breathe. Just do a little experiment on your own. Okay. DTE wants you to know that they're digging up miles of a city's natural gas infrastructure here in Dearborn. They're going to do 40 miles this spring. I know they did my neighborhood last year. They dig up the older steel lines that transferred gas, and they put in durable polyethylene lines. In other words, plastic. So we normally think of steel as durable, right? But here we have durable polyethylene, which is certainly cheaper to install. I mean, steel, they got to do more digging, and it's hard to, go around corners and over bumps or whatever the grade problems might be. And so, there you go. My neighborhood this year is getting new water, sewers, and road paving and curbs, and it is going to be a mess all summer. 3-4 months, they're telling me. I've seen a couple streets are further along than mine, and mine are just posted, no parking right now. But oh my gosh, they're going to do digging, and they're going to pile up the dirt on somebody's yard. They claim that they will fix it all after they get done destroying it, but it's going to be beautiful, maybe. And thank you, DET, for letting us know that's what you're doing. Because I didn't read anything about it last year, and it was in my neighborhood, too. Although not on my street. It is April. Oh, yeah, April 7th today. I think I mentioned that. Creativity is going to shine during the Arts Dearborn Celebration. So if it's April, it must be arts in Dearborn, at least. And so all kinds of artists are coming together in businesses and colleges and the Dearborn Symphony to create, exhibit, entertain, and educate during a month-long celebration of creativity. So anything that's related to the arts is going to be there. Now this week is what they call Gallery Rally, and it's wrapping up tonight with the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra's Cartoons and Comics Pops Concert, featuring favorites from classic cartoons. This is music from classic cartoons, movie scores, and video games, as well as a few surprises. Tickets for the 8 p.m. performance are available at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center box office. Sounds like a lot of fun. But also, as long as I brought that up, there's other things happening tonight, too. I'll just stop there. There's all kinds of art things going on in Dearborn, as I said, for the whole month. And there's various lists and information on cityofdearborn.org. But also tonight, well, actually today, is Statewide Astronomy Day, and this evening, that's the time you can most easily look at the stars. It looks like they're going to come out tonight. Isn't that great news? Yeah, after 3 days of clouds and almost constant rain, the sun has come out. Well, I can't sing, of course. You could tell off key. Anyway, so that means probably tonight, if there aren't clouds, then you're going to get a chance to look at stars. And right here at Henry Ford College tonight from 7 to 11 p.m. in conjunction with the Ford Amateur Astronomy Club, that's FAAC, we're going to participate in the Statewide Astronomy Night. And there's an acronym for that, too. It's called SWAN. Not a black swan, nope. But Statewide Astronomy Night here in Michigan is tonight. And this event takes place in our Henry Ford College Science Building, also known as Building J. Just look on the big walls around it, and it says J. That's not my name, just the letter J. That's our science building. And so the presentations tonight will be family-friendly, fun, and informative. They're free, open to the public. There's going to be a planetarium show. We have a planetarium, you know, on our campus, including tours of the spring sky in the planetarium show. Lecture demonstration on stellar spectroscopy, which is finding out what stars are made of. Lecture demonstration on the solar system and gravity. That's a serious subject, isn't it? Self-guided tours of the inner solar system, viewing planetary surfaces on a large spherical projection system, and night sky rooftop telescope observation. So they're going to get you on the roof of the science building, Building J, weather permitting, of course. Founded in 1992, the Ford Amateur Astronomy Club is a nonprofit astronomy club with the Ford Employees Recreational Association. Within that group, which has got an acronym of FERA, at the Ford Motor Company right here in Dearborn. Membership in FAAC is open to all astronomy enthusiasts. So you don't have to be a Ford Motor Company member. Currently, FAAC has more than 180 members, and their general meetings are open to the public and held monthly right here at HFC on the fourth Thursday of each month at 7 p.m., with the exception of November and December, when specific dates are selected, probably because of the holidays come in that third or fourth week. You can find out more about the Ford Amateur Astronomy Club, open to everybody, really, if you want to join. And also coming tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Just show up, find the Science Building, Building J. It's on sort of towards the south end of our campus. A free parking is all around there. And I think you'll be able to see some stars. I think so. It's looking good, as they say. But also on campus, boy, what a big night. The final weekend of performances of Noel Coward's play, Blythe Spirit. Okay, I saw that once myself, quite a few years ago, not here at the college. And this production is actually directed by our adjunct theater instructor, Judith Fletcher. And it's a supernatural comedy written by Noel Coward, who lived from 1899 and died in 1973. The play debuted in London's West End in 1941, setting a long-running record for non-musical British plays with just under 2,000 performances. Later it ran for 657 performances on Broadway. A couple of years, I guess. Coward adapted the play into a 1945 movie of the same name, starring Rex Harrison in the lead role, of course famous for his performance in My Fair Lady. And in 1964, Hugh Martin and Timothy Gray adapted Blythe Spirit into a musical called High Spirits, which opened on Broadway. And Coward directed the original run, in fact, of the musical. Well, this is not the musical. This is the play itself. And, it's a lot of fun. Here's a little background that a novelist socialite, Charles Condamine, needs background material for a mystery he's writing, so he invites Madame Arcati, a psychic medium, to his house to conduct a seance. Also present are his second wife, Ruth, and their friends, the Bradmans. All present laugh at Arcati's antics, thinking she's nothing but a cheap fraud. However, Arcati somehow manages to summon the spirit of Elvira, Charles' first wife, who died several years ago. I'll just leave it there. I don't want to spoil anything. And it's a favorite of audiences around the world. Witty humor, razor-sharp dialogue, as was true for comedy in the 1940s, especially made into movies. Very witty, very quick dialogue. And it's a lot of people don't know about that style of comedy, especially available even today in the movies. So Blythe Spirit tickets cost $15 each, and you can purchase them at the door. Again, 8 o'clock here at Henry Ford College in the F building, F for Fine Arts, in the auditorium there. And it's tonight at 8, tomorrow night at 8, and the last show is Sunday at 2 p.m. So catch it before it's gone. Those ghostly spirits. Here today, gone tomorrow. So try to catch Blythe Spirit. It's a great theatrical experience. Okay. Well, we're almost halfway through the new WHFR Journal on WHFR, the station making waves, providing you things you can't find anywhere else on your Detroit radio dial or on the internet even. News and information about Dearborn and the surrounding area in this show and a lot of great music that is equal to or better than what's already popular. Some of it was popular years ago, but nobody knew about it, or it came out years ago, but nobody knew about it at the time, or maybe people have forgotten it ever existed. So we have a lot of shows, 14 different major formats in our variety format. Coming up today at 2 o'clock, Highway 61, The Best in the Blues with DJ Kitty Love from 2 to 4 and from 4 to 6. Mike Holloway comes in and does more blues, his choices in The Best in the Blues from 4 until 6 p.m. tonight. So a lot of great fun. Thank goodness it's Friday here at WHFR for the blues. And I said, well, I don't want to be said. Well, I guess you don't know what blues is. You got to listen to the show. Blues is sometimes treats very serious problems, either in love or society. But in fact, I think it represents an indomitable spirit. You keep on going. Yep. What are we, men or mice? Oh, men, I think. By the way, anyone with unpaid parking tickets here in Dearborn has a chance to avoid more costs by taking advantage of amnesty programs at local courts in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. They're offering a program for all delinquent civil infraction tickets. Unpaid tickets can accumulate additional default fees, late fees, and warrant fees, which increase the ticket's original amount. Under the amnesty program, people have the opportunity to settle their old court financial applications and pay the original amount of the ticket. So you still have to pay the original ticket amount, but you don't have to pay all the extra fees. And when is that going to continue? It's running through April 28th and applies only to ticket holders who present themselves at the court from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. The court will be closed next Friday, April 14th. Which is Good Friday, folks. Yes, it's Easter weekend, next weekend. How that comes up. Quick like a bunny, it's coming upon us. Okay. And still another paper here. Oh, my goodness. We're trying to go through the papers from the past that we haven't had a time to take care of. And I did mention to you the Dearborn Heights, we don't have a resolution of whether or not Wayne County is going to sell the Warren Valley Golf Course that they own, which is surrounded by Dearborn Heights residents who don't want it sold and turned into condos, making their residences look a little insubstantial maybe. It's supposed to be high-end condos for rich people. And once you lose public facilities like that, you almost never get them back. And so that's really very sad, of course. And so a proposal, I think I mentioned this on this show, that the Dearborn City Council has authorized their mayor, Daniel Poletko, to send a letter to Wayne County Executive Warren Evans stating the city's desire to buy the property. They want to meet and negotiate the purchase price and, of course, keep it as a golf course then. Or would they turn around and sell it for the profit instead of the Wayne County? Would they charge, would they give a discount price to the city to buy it? Because I bet the private developers are willing to really pony up there if they're building these multi-million dollar complex, 150 homes. The proposal was $1.8 million from the developers. And so would the city get it for less than that because they're a city and Wayne County wants to be nice to them or what? We'll see. It's still a couple weeks away. Supposedly Gary Warrenchuk will notify the city of Dearborn and the rest of us, including the League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, who have already passed a resolution that they are against that sale to private developers. So we still haven't heard when that might come up in front of the Wayne County Commission. Just so you know, there was an issue months back that a couple of establishments in West Dearborn were having a lot of disturbances in the evenings that were centered around, if not directly in, these bars, okay? Places where they served alcoholic beverages. And so the city of Dearborn has been negotiating And they're now have an agreement with the NAR, the Post Bar. Excuse me, I was going to say NAR Bar. That, I think, is gone. It gets closed now. But the Post Bar will change some of its rules as a result of the special meeting called by the city council to review the multiple complaints against them. So effective already, the bar cannot host promoter parties, whatever that is, must pay for two Dearborn police officers who will be near the bar from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And my question is, why not Fridays? Their occupancy, they've agreed to limit to 175 people, which is down from 281 in terms of those inside. They're going to open their outside patio seating only from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. weekdays for lunch. So you can't have outside patio seating after 3 p.m., even if it was good weather. And they will close the bar completely on Sundays. None of those Sunday drinkers. Shame on you. I'm just exaggerating. I'm just making fun here. Under the resolution, Post Bar employees and security guards will not count under the occupancy limit, and police officers must be paid by the owners. Just in case you weren't clear about that, the officers are not being taken away from their regular duties. They're probably doing, you know, extra shifts for the extra money. Okay. Yalla Eat. Every year for the last several years, the Arab American National Museum has had a program that's called Yalla Eat. And it's guided walking tours on Warren and Michigan Avenues, an interactive opportunity for participants to learn the story of Arab Americans in metropolitan Detroit, including the history of Arab merchants on Dearborn's commercial strips. On the tours, guests can meet owners of small and large businesses eager to share the story of their family-run businesses and savor the sights, sounds, and scents at bakeries, nuts, and coffee houses. Doesn't say tasting, goes on. Sights, sounds, and scents. You can smell it, but you can't eat it. Maybe you want to pay for some. But bakeries, nuts and coffee houses, and fresh produce markets. Now, samples will also be offered, along with the stories of individuals, their families, and their history. So it's more than just food. Yalla Eat would think it was just food, but it's more than that. And the tours have already started. It's April now, so they've been already going on. They're going to be extended through October, but not in June, because that's the holy month of Ramadan this year. I know the date keeps changing, but so not during June. So April, May, and then July, August, September, and October. And there'll be two different tours. One is Michigan Avenue. Okay, and the other one is along Warren Avenue. And more information can be found at the website of the Arab American National Museum, which I'm turning to. Yes, here it is. Well, actually, it's not in the story. Wouldn't you know that? Okay. Well, just use your friendly American, the search engine. It's very obvious. Why do I even be concerned? Tickets are available in advance at Arab American Museum. So you don't need the word national in there, even though that's their actual full name. ArabAmericanMuseum.org. And then you can find Yalla Eat, or just in the address, .org/. Okay, Yalla Eat, YALLAEAT. Prices are $35 for museum members and $45 for non-members. And it's a wonderful organization, nonprofit, to support in this community, by the way. Very unique, and all different kinds of activities for all different kinds of people in our community, too, and especially here at WHFR, being into music so much. We're especially proud of their Global Fridays and, of course, their their continued guidance, supervision, organization of Concert of Colors, of which WHFR is a big part every July. We hope to be again this year. ArabAmericanMuseum.org. Alrighty then. Oh, another paper. Oh my goodness. Take one away and there's another one underneath. Well, as probably you've heard, because it was covered in WDET radio and other places in Detroit, probably sent some video teams out from the TV news stations. What happened to the statue of Mayor Orville Hubbard that was taken down from the front of the former Dearborn City Hall at Schaefer in Michigan? We did hear a while back that it was going to go to the Historical Museum, the Dearborn Historical Museum. But the question was, how would it be displayed? Would it be displayed indoors or outdoors? Would it be with information, a plaque, some sort of educational exhibit to give sort of a balanced view of the career of our longest serving mayor here in Dearborn? Because he was controversial. Mm-hmm. And he was, I think it's fair to say, without causing misrepresentation of any sort, he was a segregationist. He did not believe that people of different races, yes, he saw color, should live together. And he did whatever he could to, quote-unquote, keep Dearborn clean, which was, some people believe, a thinly veiled reference to keeping black residents out of the city rather than addressing litter problems. But he did also build a reputation of superior city services for residents, sometimes picking up garbage or shoveling snow for residents by himself, and personally answering phone calls at City Hall. Well, anyway, his statue was taken down in September 2015 as the old City Hall property became, of course, the new art space, lofts, and galleries. City no longer owns that land. But what happened was they decided to put the 10-foot bronze sculpture out of doors. Okay. At the Dearborn Historical Museum on Brady Street in West Dearborn. And the problem with that is that it almost seems like he's either with his hand, depending on how you interpret it, and it depends on your biases. I assume we all have more than one. He's either waving hello to people coming into West Dearborn from the east side, or he is saying, stop, go back. Always smiling. So there's been some controversy still about this. The statue was not paid for by the city. It was paid for by a private group. But it did stand in front of our former City Hall for many years, and then was taken down. Personally, I've said on this show, and I still believe it's true, but I bet, you know, the Dearborn Historical Museum on Brady Street does not have ceilings that are tall enough for a 10-foot-high statue. It would take up a lot of floor space, and I just bet, I mean, I don't think, well, I know in some places very historic buildings have very tall ceilings. But I can't remember from the last time I was in the Historical Museum how tall their ceilings were. I don't think they could accommodate a 10-foot-tall statue. I think that's the actual problem. They couldn't fit his statue because it's bigger than life, folks. He was not really 10 feet high, okay? So I think that was part of the problem. But I think, you know, well, then why couldn't it go to Henry Ford Museum? I guess they didn't want him because they wanted to just focus on cars and technology. But they've got several civil rights displays and exhibits. But to have Hubbard on display as an exhibit seems to be anti-civil rights, doesn't it? If you see through the eyes of some people. So there it is. So go take a look at it yourself. It's standing again. Hubbard's standing again at the Dearborn Historical Museum. What some people did comment on, though, in some of the people that called into WDET a few days ago when they talked about this issue, was that this is just another thing that happened in the city of Dearborn that nobody wanted to say it was going to happen or ask for any public discussion. It was just all internal decisions. And it just happened without anybody saying it was going to happen. Well, because you wouldn't want it protested while they were trying to make it happen. Or you didn't want anybody to have their opinion changed. Right? Yeah. Sort of like buying another city hall? And I think that was a good idea. Okay, I think it will be saving the city of Dearborn money in the long run. Like maybe within the next few years, it might even have payback because the cost to renovate and to refurbish the old City Hall, as we're calling it now, art space for use by the city would have been pretty huge in the first place. So I think it was a good business decision to buy the new City Hall, but it happened really, really quick. Got to jump on those opportunities, right? And a lot of people didn't like that, that they felt that a Democratic government should have more discussion with the public about these issues, more input. What do you think? And maybe we should just get past it. Drop it, move up, move past it. Next week, Thursday, April 13th. In Dearborn Heights, although anyone can attend, you don't have to be a Dearborn Heights person. I thought this is a good idea. If you have a young child and you're thinking about trying to save for a college education, you know that the state of Michigan does have what they call the Michigan Education Trust and Michigan Education Savings Programs. And representatives from these groups will be having a presentation at the Caroline Kennedy Library next Thursday night, April 13th, 3 to 8 p.m., oh my gosh, 5 hours? So all kinds of things there, I guess, for 5 hours. Topics will include the pay-as-you-go option, which allows purchasers to buy contracts by credit hours rather than in semester increments. Attendees can also purchase a MET contract and open an MESP account at the meeting itself, and the MET will waive the $25 enrollment fee during the session. So it's great information for any, you know, parents with children at any age, under college age. I don't know what whether it's more, it seems like you have longer time to save, that you'd want to consider that early on in the life of your newborn. It's not the only option, of course, to pay for college, but it is something and should be considered. So again, look into that. Maybe for more information, you can go to State of Michigan website somewhere, Michigan Education Trust and Michigan Education Savings Programs, or go to Caroline Kennedy Library in Dearborn Heights, 3 to 8 p.m. next Thursday, April 13th. Okay. Now,
other stories. Yes, we're finally getting to other stories. It's about time, right? Oh, my goodness.
Reaching far away from the microphone. Let's see here. In no particular order, but they are stories of the day, it's just been announced that Tesla, the electric car manufacturer and also producer of solar panels, and Elon Musk, their CEO that formed it, he also is in charge of SpaceX, which is launching the rockets, the supplies actually for International Space Station. So the U.S. government has sort of opted out of providing support for our own astronauts in the space station. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sometimes we even have to pay money to Russia to get supplies up there. But why are private contractors able to do this and make a profit on things that are good for the country? Why do we have to pay private contractors? We should be able to do it ourselves for less money. Nonetheless, did you see Tesla's market value of their whole company, of the Tesla company, not, which doesn't include SpaceX, is estimated to be $49 billion now. $49 billion, and that's higher than that of Ford Motor Company. Mm-hmm. So, interestingly, Ford and GM shares have dropped in price recently on fears that auto sales have hit a cyclical peak. And, of course, electric cars have no place to go but up because there's not very many around. And they are the thing of the future. They will be what we will have to buy, what we will want to buy, I think, within 5 years, maybe 10 years. Of course, the state of Michigan and a few other crazy state legislatures have laws that forbid automobiles by being sold to you directly from the manufacturer. Why in the world would you want that to happen? I mean, I've had so many experiences with franchise auto dealers that are so bad. Why? Because they can do whatever they want to do. And even if the manufacturer doesn't want them to operate a certain way, they kind of give them or have to give them leeway to treat their customers however they want to. And it just doesn't make sense. Direct buying from the producer of the product is legal in every other way, but not automobiles? I'm sure the majority of consumers in the state of Michigan and around the world, if we could tell our legislators how to vote, if they would represent us, they would know that we want to buy cars directly from the manufacturer. Maybe cutting out the middleman might make that it cheaper, might get us more responsive service, might make buying and purchasing a little bit easier. Tesla has done a great job in the states where it's allowed to sell directly to customers in terms of dealing with their customers. And they have a great product. And you say, well, it's too expensive right now. Yeah, but their Tesla 3 is supposed to be coming out. There's 300,000 people that have put deposits down. I was one of them. But then I had to back out because as a retired teacher on a pension, I needed the money back. But I was in the first 100,000. But couldn't have got it in Michigan, though, unless I would have bought it in Ohio and then brought it back and relicensed and repaid all the taxes and so on. And then I still wouldn't have a nearby dealership to service it. Although there are some service locations. There is one in Detroit, I understand. They can't buy it there, but they will fine-tune your electric motor. Right, that's a joke. You don't have to fine-tune electric motors. They just work. Either work or they don't work. Anyway, so it's interesting. Tesla is now worth more money than Ford. And I have to say, I'm not sure if I have a bias, but I didn't do the story for this reason. I actually bought Tesla stock 5 years ago because I thought it was the right thing to do to support, you know, lost causes almost. And now, well, I didn't buy so much as to make me rich at all, just a few shares. But oh my gosh, for losing money for several years after I bought them, I can make some money reselling them. Not very much, but it's nice to know I didn't lose on that deal. So what's Ford and GM going to do? You know, GM doesn't say that their electric Bolt is even going to be available in Michigan until September or after. Thank you very much, GM. And when was the last time you saw an ad for the Ford Focus Electric? Never. It's a compliance car. Ford did it because they wanted to sell cars in California, and California as a state requires you have very low miles per gallon. And so electric cars have very low miles per gallon because there's no gallons involved, but there's still an equivalency that electric car manufacturers put out. So that helps them sell, that helps their corporate MPG to be lower in California. So they're not even trying to sell electric cars here. And maybe someday. So good luck to Tesla and the future. Hope it comes soon. State legislators are going to introduce a resolution opposing Nestle's water grab. Yep. As we reported on the show, because several environmental groups, not the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, didn't want Nestle, that's N-E-S-T-L-E, but it's pronounced Nestle, wants to pump as much as 400 gallons a minute from underground water in western Michigan. Tens of millions of gallons more every year from Michigan. And we think environmental groups think this is going to endanger our water supplies of fresh water for many communities in western Michigan. No, they can't just take all the water they want out of Lake Michigan. No, they can't. Okay, and this resolution to stop them has been introduced by, guess what, all Democrats. Yeah, Representative Terry Sabo, Democrat in Muskegon, and Robert Wittenberg, Democrat Oak Park, urges Governor Rick Snyder and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, MDEQ, to reject Nestle's water's request to increase the amount of water pumped out of the ground at their PW101 well north of Everett in Osceola Township. And by the way, for all that water, tens of millions of gallons of water they're going to pump out every year from there, they would only pay the state of Michigan $200. Oh, how much does your water cost? I know, you say, well, you're not getting it directly from the ground. Anything in the ground is free. Well, it shouldn't be for a private profit company. Oh, they pay some corporate taxes in Michigan probably, but come on. There's nothing as profitable as selling water in environmentally inappropriate plastic bottles back to the people whose land already has it in it under the surface. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, and I'll mention the product name, Ice Mountain. Ice Mountain, and you'll see that brand, that Nestle brand, in all the grocery stores around here and in the Midwest. It comes from Western Michigan, and they're getting huge profits out of basically free water. We're not charging them hardly anything, pennies. And that's just wrong, 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 wrong. Okay, and in fact, the MDEQ got a signature from Michigan environmentalists, a petition that had 345,000 signatures on it. That was presented to the MDEQ in February in Lansing. And it's just, it's an amazing story. It's in Metro Times this week. Again, a great newspaper for the 6 or 7 or 8 investigative pieces that appear there that appear almost nowhere else in print in Michigan. Okay, looking at a couple more stories here. 5 minutes to go before Highway 61 and Kitty Love will be on the air. Some budget workshops are scheduled for proposed fiscal year 2018, which starts July 1st here in Dearborn. And if you want to have some background and give input to city government, one of them already happened in March about human capital, departmental operations, and staffing trends. Anyway, April 10th, property maintenance and development services. April 12th, tax rates, library budget, budget overview, and significant changes. And these dates, they're either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have to look it up on cityofdearborn.org. 17th, public safety police. The 18th, public safety fire. April 19th, recreation and culture, including historical museum. That's on Wednesday the 19th. And April 24th, the last one, public works and infrastructure. They all happen at 6:30 p.m. in conference room 1A. Which is an A1 place, to put it, of the Dearborn Administrative Center, the new City Hall, on Michigan Avenue. Use the west entrance, please. And times may change. Check the website always. I try to go to a couple meetings there, and they're, even 6 o'clock, even half hour early, and no sign up, nothing. So I go away kind of sad 45 minutes later. There was no sign on the door or whatever. The building was locked up tight, and that happened a couple times. Why? Because I didn't check the very same day, a couple hours earlier, for things that were happening. So be sure to check before you go. But it's good to find out. I bet all the candidates for mayor are going to attend those sessions, because then they'll have stuff to say. And we don't exactly know who the candidates are going to be for certain. We know that people have taken out petitions. We've seen names in the paper. But they have to get those petitions turned back in before April 25th or the 26th. And then they usually have a couple of days to pull them back out, even if they turn them in. So after it's totally final, then we here at WHFR are going to get those candidates, as many as possible, on the air for a 30-minute interview each. No debate. We don't do debates here. We just want one person at length to tell us what they think about the job they're running for, why they're trying to run for it, and what will they do when they get that job. They have any new ideas, special ideas? What will they do? So we're going to schedule those after we find out who's actually running. And, of course, there is a primary coming up in August for those races where there's too many people running, and it has to be narrowed down before the November election. So I'm sure we'll see a lot of these candidates who are in the running around Dearborn Homecoming, because that's the week before the Tuesday, August 8th election. Finally, as you heard on Democracy Now! Show here on WHFR every Friday from 12 to 1, updating national and international news that you don't get anywhere else on the dial. Here's the word from the Friends Committee on National Legislation. The Friends Committee on National Legislation is a lobbyist group that is a separate group, not tax-deductible donations, because they do lobbying to our legislators, but they're trying to put forward the American Friends Service Committee principles of morality and ethics in government, and that's what they're recommending. And here's their statement today, and I'm going over, I know, some of the Democracy Now! Positions, but more bombs won't end the crisis in Syria. After more than 6 years of war with millions displaced and a death toll of nearly 500,000 people, it's clear that there is no military solution to this crisis. But for years, the U.S. has bombed Syria, and last night, the U.S. expanded the war by attacking a Syrian government airbase. This week's abhorrent chemical weapons attack was an act of unspeakable violence against civilians, and we, Friends Committee on National Legislation, are heartbroken over the deaths of Syrians, including many children. The Trump administration's escalation is not the solution and will only cause more killing and suffering for Syrian civilians. The U.S. should fully support the ongoing investigation of the chemical weapons attack and work with the international community to bring the perpetrators to justice. That's the opinion of American Friends Service Committee and their lobbyist group, the Friends Committee on National Legislation. By the way, the American Friends Service Committee was formerly known as the Quakers, basically in favor of peace over war and bloodshed. Think about that as we approach Easter, but now it's time to say goodbye for this week, and we'll catch up to you again next week on the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR Dearborn, and time now for Highway 61. Stay tuned.